To extend the Christian greeting this morning again in the name of Jesus. It's been a blessing to be here ready this morning. Welcome each one here. A special welcome to our visitors here this morning as well. We are certainly glad that you've chosen to worship with us here this morning. Appreciated what was shared already this morning in the devotional, what Brother Dave shared with us here in the meditation. Thinking about the past week and about past Sunday as well as our communion service and a reminder of, again, what Christ did for us and how he hung there on the tree. But you know, folks, this morning, as I had to think about that, as I thought about that, we didn't see Jesus hanging on the tree there on the cross. We didn't see this. We didn't see Christ after he resurrected from the dead. Thought of the message this morning, we believe this by faith. Faith is the only way we believe this, and we accept this. And I've titled the message this morning, What is Faith? What is faith? Somebody would ask you this morning, what is faith? How would you answer them? What would you tell them? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to read a portion of that scripture here a little later. But I believe one of the most important words in the Bible is the word faith. And notice I said one of the most important words. I know there's many important words in the Bible, but I believe one of the most important words is the word faith. Because the Bible tells us here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. Faith is needed to have eternal life. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, and that word believeth could be you could put in there as word as our faith. Faith is believing. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We go into the Old Testament in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, says, behold, the soul of him is lifted up and is not upright, but the just shall live by what? Faith. The just shall live by faith. And God repeats this notable verse or this notable phrase, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. He repeats that four different times throughout Scripture. Romans 1 verse 17 is one. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified. Last Sunday we talked about justification. Justified. But he says, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And then again in Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what is faith? What do you tell folks when people ask you what faith is? I believe faith is defined as a confident belief that something is true. Sometimes people use the word faith to mean that they hope something is true, or they hope something will happen. But they're not always certain. They're not sure if it will, but they go by faith. We say we'll go by faith. We'll have faith that this happens. And that's okay. That's one definition or one, that's how faith is defined in one way. But this is not what faith means in the Bible. Biblical faith is the conviction. It's the confidence. It's the persuasion that God's word is true. Faith is not feeling, rather, it's conviction. Faith is not an attitude that's apart from evidence, rather, that's an intelligent persuasion. It's a confidence and it's persuasion of truth. Faith is not positive thinking, rather, it's confidence in God's promises. Faith doesn't overlook duties, rather, it loves and obeys God. There's two objects, two great objects in which absolute trust is placed. throughout Scripture. And first of all, faith believes in God's Word. Because faith is the belief of a testimony. Therefore, if a Christian faith is belief in God's testimony, Christian faith is a belief in God's testimony. Faith confidently relies upon that testimony in life. You know, we don't want to be swept away by circumstances that we face in this world during our lives. As Christians, we desire faith to overcome paralyzing power of fear in our reactions to situations we face. You know, we live in a fear-driven world. We live in a fear-driven world. You know, there's not a lot of positive things that are published in our news today. It's negative. There's not a lot of good. There's not a lot of positive things get published in our news today. We're living a fear-driven world. There's fear. There's an intent to put fear in the hearts of men. But brethren and sisters, this morning, let's choose faith. Let's choose faith versus fear. The second object is faith believes in God. Faith has a strong belief. It's confident. It's persuasion in God. It believes that God is who He has revealed Himself to be. You know, we know of God, what we read in the Bible, and its truth. And faith believes that God is who He reveals Himself to be. Our concept of God needs to be more than just a vague idea of a supreme being. A true God of salvation cannot be removed from His attributes that are revealed about Him in the Bible. Though we cannot fully comprehend God, we can learn of His character. We can learn of God's ways. We can learn of His character as we study His Word. Faith believes in His Word. He reveals Himself as self-existent. He reveals Himself as holy. God reveals Himself as faithful. God reveals Himself as sovereign and good. And many, many other attributes that God reveals Himself throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible. Our faith, or our belief about the true character of God, needs to be a part of our faith at the time of our conversion. If we're going to maintain a faith that guards against forgetting God and backsliding, we need to come to God, realizing our lost condition and our total need of His saving grace. You know, it'd be useless for us to call out for salvation to someone in whom we don't trust yet. Faith, we trust in God. You know, probably all our children. We taught the song, "My God is So Big," at a very young age. Probably every one of the children here this morning could sing that song. That song speaks of God's sovereignty. It speaks of God's power. It's something that we wanted to entrust into our children at a young age, the sovereignty and the power of God. God is so big, strong, and mighty. There's nothing He cannot do. I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 11, the first six verses. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So how do we acquire? How do we get this faith? Romans 10 verse 14 asks the question, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? The Bible gives a very clear and a very powerful answer further on in that chapter in verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or that word hearing, faith cometh by believing, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If God said it, we can absolutely rest on it with unwavering confidence. We can build our faith upon God's testimony. Here in our text in Hebrews 11, we see a description of a faith that pleases God. Verse 6 tells us it's impossible to please him. Faith believes that God exists is point number one. Faith believes that God exists. Believing that God exists is a starting point. In fact, it's a must starting point of faith. You know, there's many folks not interested. Some want to push aside any accountability to God so they can live the way they please. But then suddenly, when catastrophe faces them or threatens their plans or their lives or their loved ones, they want God to come through and help them. Friends, this morning, a truly wise man will humble himself, take the reality of God's existence as truth before that day comes. And then we can come to him in confidence that he hears our prayers. God gives us all kinds of evidence that he is God, that we can come to and we can diligently seek him. Faith believes in God that exists. Faith believes in a God that exists through the design and the complexity of creation. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, it's only through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We didn't see this happen. Through faith, we see things were not made of things which did appear. This is a foundational teaching to our faith. The creation, the detail, the complex designs within humans, plants, animals, are a clear indication of God's creativity, that he was the designer. You know, we look at the stars, we look at the planets, the precise orbits. This is evidence of our designer God. You know, ancient men of old, they reached their destination by relying on the placement of the stars. The exact placement of the stars at a set time can be calculated with details accuracy because the Bible tells us that the heavens and the earth are kept by the word of God, found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. The oceans, made by God, they're an amazing thermostat. You know, it takes a large loss of heat for water to turn to ice and a large intake of heat for water to turn to steam. In this way, oceans are a cushion against the heat in the sun and the freezing blasts of warmer temperatures. It's like a thermostat. Only God could design that. Only God did design that. And we accept that. We believe that by faith. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 33, verses 5 through 9 says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the earth of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe for him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So this morning, we need that reverential trust, turning away from all that displeases God and accepting Him as our master designer. Another evidence of the existence of God is the law of cause and effect. Every effect in this world has a cause. And you can go back farther and farther and farther. Back throughout the ages. And eventually will bring you to an on-cause cause. The first cause of all things. And that first cause is God, who is self-existent. Everything that's created, everything that we see, goes back to the cause of God, who was self-existent. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4 affirms this scientific law. It says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." He that built all things is God. So may we humble ourselves this morning and consider the existence of God. Another evidence of existence of God is simply man is created in God's image. Romans 1 verse 20 indicates, "To us who deny God as creator will be without the excuse. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God honored mankind above all things, above all other created beings. He created men and women in his own image. What would the world be like if we were created by someone who didn't understand us? The characteristics and the spirit of man show us that we're not a product of evolution, but of a creator. Faith diligently seeks God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, without a conviction of the reality of God, we cannot have hope in this life to prepare for the life hereafter. We must first of all accept who he is and then ask what he expects of us. We can't have a solid faith in anything that we aren't sure of. Faith is resting all one's weight on God. Truly our faith can rest on solid evidence when we accept God's word. The Holy Spirit gives us further witness in our heart that God is real. You know, when you go buy a property, you need to check whether there's a lien. You usually check whether there's a lien against the property. God, as creator, has a title deed to the earth. There's no lien against this property. God is sovereign. And when he says something, we can count in it to be true. In Revelation 5, Jesus was found worthy to open the book. He was found worthy to open the title deed to all the earth. And someday, he will reign over all the earth. Revelations, found in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. I'm not going to take time to turn to that. If we read on here in chapter 11 in Hebrews, the accounts of men and women of faith, it gives insight into God's definition of faith. "The evidence of God's power was not always visible to them, but they believed in it. These hearers of faith acted in obedience to God's instructions, because they were convinced of God's existence. They were convinced of his power to reward. One way our faith can be increased is by reading these stories. Their actions of faith are clearly noted, and they become models of faith to us. Seek God with diligence. Seek God with diligence. How diligent are we in seeking God? Maybe we can quiz ourselves, or we can gauge ourselves by how much time we spend in God's Word. Because this is God speaking. How diligent are we in seeking Him? How many minutes do I read my Bible each day? God wants us firmly persuaded. How can we be firmly persuaded if we're not spending adequate time in His Word? God gave His revelation to us through the Old Testament prophets, through the life and example of Jesus, and through the New Testament scriptures. Seek God with diligence. Verse 6. He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Seek God in the right way. God commends the faith of Abel in verse 4. He says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it the being dead yet speaketh. He commends faith of Abel. Now we go back to Genesis chapter 4. And we have the account there of Cain and Abel, both sons of Adam and Eve. And the Bible talks about them both giving sacrifices unto God. Abel's offering was accepted by God. Cain's offering was not. And this account would imply to us that God had made known to human creation the right way to approach Him. True faith is evidenced by obedience to God's word in our worship. Now, we don't have all the details there in Genesis about the instructions they were given to sacrifice. But we can observe that when God made coats of animal skins to clothe Adam and Eve, blood was shed. And I believe blood was required in a sacrifice. God testified that Abel had sacrificed by faith and was righteous. You know, we must remember that both of these men, Cain and Abel, were by nature sin. But calling Abel righteous wasn't based on his good qualities, but on his obedient faith. Seek God by following His plan. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, here again implies that we are to seek when He says to diligently seek Him. It speaks about Enoch in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch pleased God. He was familiar with God. He was familiar with God's plan. And for us, we need to be familiar with His plan. Enoch knew that there was an answer to God personally. So he followed Him. He walked with Him. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24 tells us, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Can we truly walk with God like we should if we're not learning of Him and we don't know Him? This morning, I'm convinced that if we walk with God, as God reveals His will to us, that God can be pleased with us in our faith. Walking with God implies faithful living that does not overlook duties that God asks of us. Behold, the Lord cometh with... Enoch preached to the ungodly people among whom he lived. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. The people spoke harshly against the Lord, according to Jude in verse 14 and 15. And this suggests here that it was not a pleasant environment for Enoch. Enoch didn't always tell the people what they wanted. But faith doesn't always please people. It isn't doing what seems right in our own eyes. Faith, true faith, produces an obedient walk. We read here that Enoch was translated. In other words, God took him to heaven. It appears he did not die, it would appear that Enoch would not have died, but just simply that God took him away. God said, it would appear that God said, just come with me. Enoch didn't die. Faith believes in God's ability to reward. The rewards for those who believe are found throughout the Bible. They're not merited or earned, but rather there are promises that God graciously gives to those who trust in him. Our walk of faith doesn't earn any place in heaven for us, but it shows that our faith is real. It's not what we do, but it's because of what God has done, and we accept this. God's ability to reward eternal life. God promises eternal life to those who put their trust, their faith in Jesus Christ. God is ready and willing to meet us as needy people when we are ready to forsake all others. God asks us to accept Jesus as a mediator of a new covenant between God and us. Christ Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. He's the salvation of our souls. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He leads and perfects our faith. He gives us eternal life. God's ability to reward is grace to live. Grace to live is another reward of faith. Christians are encouraged to labor in true faith. God assures us of his own presence in the person of the Holy Spirit to be with us each day. Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might have received the promise. His hand is outstretched to us, and we are to labor to enter into his love. And then the final reward is heaven. You know, there's many hard situations in life. And we can turn back to the book of Revelation. We see heaven, the future place of rest, our future reward. We don't need to focus on all the wrong in our world. Colossians 3:24 tells us, knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We can look up with confidence, knowing that God has provided a way to redeem and to bring us into fellowship with himself. This morning, you and I must believe what God has said. We live in faith because we're convinced of the reality of God's existence. We're convinced of the majesty of his character, and we're convinced of his ability to reward. And only then can we confidently rest and say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, he says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust, or my God, in whom I will put my faith. So we ask a question. Will my faith, will your faith endure through whatever comes into my life? You know, we have experienced pain. We have experienced unexpected trials. We have experienced hard times, coping with grief, suffering. These are things that we experience in this world. Tragedies shatter the sense of control we thought we had. Our confidence feels threatened, our security shaken. We desire a bright future. Undesirable circumstances can cause us to question whether we trust God. Let's take a closer look and choose faith and not fear. Choose faith and not fear. As we look further here in the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 22 to 38, these heroes understood as we do. They were living in a world that could be shaken, but they believe there's no hope apart from God. How did they endure when things seemed out of control? How did they endure when things seemed out of control? We define endurance as the ability to hold out, to remain, to continue faithful in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to keep on trusting God. The writer Hebrew appeals to us as God's people, to Christians of his generation, and to all future generations to endure in faith and to not be overcome by fear and doubt. He reveals to us what brought these heroes of faith successfully through their trials, as we read on further in chapter 11 here. At a later time, in another message, I'd like to continue on with this chapter and look at the power of faith and the enduring faith. Friends, this morning, let's choose faith, not fear.